Sherlock Holmes in Mr. Hat by Scott McQuaid. Produced by Pop-Up Theatre.
As we stood in the abandoned house, I could no longer feel my toes in my shoes. They'd gone numb from the cold. It was unusually cold that late night, especially as it was our summer. It was July the 9th, 1864. And only a week before, England had been experiencing a drought. However, such is the weather of London, it had taken a turn for the worst. Our victim was one Enoch Drebber. He was American. He'd been travelling in Europe. Little did he know his final destination would be in that dismal house on Brixton Road. A policeman escorted us through to the crime scene.
Right this way, Mr. Holmes.
We were led into the small living room and immediately saw our victim. He was lying on the floor, soaked in blood. It looked like he had been bludgeoned to death. Inspector Gregson of Scotland Yard was leading the investigation.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Holmes. We don't have much to go on.
That is yet to be determined.
The body was discovered by Mr. Jefferson Hope. He says he was walking by the house when he heard somebody shouting. He looked in the window and saw our victim lying on the floor. So he kicked in the front door, and that's when he discovered that Mr. Drebbers was already dead.
Can I speak to Mr. Hope?
Yeah, sure. He's over there.
Could you recount your discovery of Mr. Drebber?
Yeah. I was walking past the house when I heard somebody shouting, so I peeked through the window.
And what did you see?
Well, nothing at first. The window was frosted, so I wiped it clear. And that's when I saw Enoch lying on the floor. I quickly kicked in the door, but I was too late. He was already dead. I think I must have scared the killer away or something.
I see. Inspector Gregson?
Yeah?
I found your killer.
You have? Where is he?
Standing in front of you.
What? Jefferson's the killer?
Yes. Mr. Hope says that he tried to look through the window but couldn't see, so he then wiped away the frost.
So?
And so, frost is formed inside a window, which means Mr. Hope was inside the home when he was wiping the frost away. Hence, he is the killer. Furthermore, there's only one entrance and exit to this house, so if there was somebody inside, they would have had to pass by you as you entered.
Very clever, though. His story about kicking in the door, that covers forced entry.
Criminals should speak much less and make more haste.
Mr. Hope, you're under arrest for murder. Take him away, Constable.
At that moment, Inspector Lestrade entered the house.
There's been a murder.
As always, Lestrade, you are two steps behind.
No, I mean there's been another murder.
This night just got more interesting.
We took a carriage through the night streets of London en route to Hackney Station. Inspector Lestrade attempted to lay out the crime. So, who's the victim?
We don't know.
Oh, well, what about the gender? Male or female?
Well, we're not sure.
What? Where was the body found?
There's no body.
What?
I like this case already.
How do you know a murder has been committed?
Oh, well, the blood. It's all over the carriage.
Go on.
Well, what we know is the North London train from Fenchurch Street left at 9:50 p.m. when it reached its final destination in Hackney. The station superintendent checked the carriages and found one compartment covered in blood with a black hat resting on the floor.
A most arousing curiosity.
Scotland Yard had cornered off the crime scene on the platform of Hackney Station. Holmes was eager, excited by the thrill of the chase, as the station's superintendent led us to the carriage in question.
It's just down here, Mr. Holmes.
It was a first-class carriage, which was basically a box in which the traveller was locked in until their point of destination. Holmes pulled out his magnifying glass and started to sweep the compartment for any clues.
I hear you're getting married, Dr. Watson.
Ah, yes. Naturally, Mary and I would be delighted to have you attend the ceremony.
Oh, I'd be honoured. When is it?
Well, we haven't yet set a date.
Well, I'll be sure to bring my
hat.
Exactly.
No, Lestrade, where's the hat you mentioned?
Oh, right. Constable, could you pass me the hat? Here.
Holmes examined the hat carefully with his magnifying glass, then measured its weight in the palm of his hand, before eventually smelling the inside rim of the hat.
One of my men said he found this cane and black bag shoved down the side of the seat.
Did he? Hand it to me.
The cane was thick and black, topped with a heavy ivory knob sprinkled with blood splatters. The black bag was leather, expensive for a professional.
The cane attributes to being the murder weapon, judging by the blood upon its knob handle.
Well, this is a mystery. We have his bag, his cane, his hat, but no body.
Who said it's his hat?
Well, I just theorised that...
Insensibly, one begins to twist facts to suit theories, instead of theories to suit facts.
But I only said...
Now look at this squashed, meagre hat. Now compare it to the upper-class richness of the cane and its counterpart, the expensive leather-bound bag. Do you not see any inconsistencies in our victim's attire?
Well, I didn't think...
Precisely. Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why so few engage in it.
Well, then, please enlighten us, Holmes.
Very well. Your killer is a German tailor.
You got that just by sniffing a hat?
Partly, yes, my learned friend. The hat has a lingering fragrance of eau de cologne, which is a very popular perfume, first released in the town of Cologne in Germany. Hence the phrase for men's perfume, cologne.
And why is he a tailor?
The inside of this hat has been sewn together using a tailor's tack. Judging by your blank expression, I'm guessing you have no idea what that is. Allow me to educate you. A tailor's tack is a loose-looped stitch that is cut on the fabric as an indication as to where to stitch. This type of stitching is used in tailoring and not by a hat milliner. The sewing by a milliner starts on the back of the hat using a narrow zigzag stitch to begin the lining of the hat. Observe, this hat does not follow that technique. I surmise that the killer accidentally picked up the wrong hat on his quick exit. So, it is a case of where is the other hat and who is Mr. Hat?
That's amazing.
Yes, I know. What are you doing, Watson?
I'm just writing some of this down. I like the Mr. Hat reference. Yes, very good.
Please tell me this is not for your ridiculous stories.
They're not ridiculous.
What's this? Now you're an author now, Dr. Watson.
Well, I'd hardly call myself an author.
Finally, something we agree on.
The Strand magazine has taken an interest in printing our adventures.
They're not adventures, they are crime cases. Speaking of which, let's see what's in the victim's case.
What's that?
It's a bank receipt. Messrs. Robarts, Curtis & Co.
I know that bank. It's on Lombard Street.
Right you are, Watson.
Just then, the station's superintendent popped his head into the train carriage.
Inspector?
What is it?
There are two women here complaining about their capes.
So, what's that got to do with me?
Well, I'm just saying. They said they're splattered in blood.
What? Where are these women? Take me to them.
The station's superintendent led Holmes and I down the platform to two well-dressed, refined ladies.
Which carriage were you in?
Excuse me?
Come on, I haven't got all night. Which train compartment were you both in?
What's the meaning of this?
Ladies, allow me to introduce ourselves. I am Dr. Watson, and this is Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes?
Oh,
the detective?
Yes, shock, awe, admiration, blah, blah, blah. Now, the carriage, if you please.
We were in that one.
The ladies pointed to the carriage directly behind the compartment of the crime scene.
Just as I suspected. Now, you mentioned your garments were sprayed with blood.
Yes. Look, it's all over my dress. It's ruined.
And on my cape, too.
I assume the blood spray came from outside the window you had opened in your compartment.
Yes.
Now, what was the last station the train stopped at before the blood spray incident happened?
Chalk Farm.
Lestrade, I suggest you get your men to sweep the train tracks between the Old Bow and Victoria Park. That's where you'll find your body.
The body lay on the embankment next to the tracks, just as Holmes had predicted, between the Old Bow and Victoria Park. The man in question was lying still, as blood poured from the back of his head. I checked for a pulse. He's still alive! Quickly, get some help!
Men, fashion a stretcher.
Hey, come on, lads, come on!
Aye, give me that.
I can't believe he's still alive.
Barely. His injuries are severe. I wouldn't get too optimistic if I were you, Inspector.
Check his pockets for any ID.
Nothing, I'm afraid. Just this £5 note.
So he took nothing?
Not true. His gold pocket watch is missing.
How do you know that?
There is a distinct imprint left on the inside pocket of his waistcoat. That marking is the result of a snap-hook pocket watch on a swivel clip.
But how do you know it's gold?
Oh, because of the weight. Gold is evidently heavier than silver, hence the pull on the chain, thus the imprint on his pocket.
At that moment, Inspector Richard Tanner arrived at the scene.
All right, men, gently does it. Lift him onto the stretcher. Take him to Midford Castle, public house.
Ah, Holmes. Dr. Watson, allow me to introduce Inspector Tanner. He's from our Metropolitan Detective Police Force Division. He's going to be heading up this case.
It's quite an honour to meet you, Mr. Holmes. I've admired your work from afar for quite some time, sir.
Yes, well, you can admire it up close now. The body was dropped from the carriage feet first.
How can you be sure?
Notice that the body's feet lay towards London while his head towards Hackney. I theorise that after the assailant knocked his victim unconscious, he lowered the body out of the carriage feet first. Now, the moment his feet made contact with the moving ground below, that dragged the body from his grip, slamming the body's head down to the ground, facing in the direction of the train towards Hackney.
That would make sense.
Of course it does. The attack happened on the 5-minute journey between Bow and Hackney Wick.
Well, let's hope we can get an ID on him. Gentlemen?
A robbery on a train. That's a first. Is there nowhere safe today in London?
So it would appear.
You think there's more to this than a robbery?
Let's look at the facts, shall we? Our so-called robber takes nothing more than Mr. Hat's gold watch and accidentally his hat. Yet he leaves his bag, his cane, and a £5 note.
Yes, that doesn't quite add up.
Indeed. There is nothing more deceptive than an obvious fact.
It had been 2 days since the railway attack. And one could say it had been a diversion from the American Civil War that had been dominating the newspapers of late. Our victim had been identified as one Thomas Briggs. Sadly, the 69-year-old had passed away the following evening. His wounds proved to be too severe. It was a quiet morning outside our window, yet despite the stillness of the day, Holmes had been anxiously pacing up and down the room, smoking his calabash pipe. The newspaper headline read, "Britain's First Railway Murder." This incident had clearly caused some unrest within London's commuters. The paper detailed the account of Mr. Thomas Briggs's movements before his untimely death. Mr. Briggs was a senior bank clerk who had just finished his shift at 3 p.m. He had then proceeded to take a bus to Peckham, where he spent his evening having dinner with his niece and her husband. Mr. Briggs then boarded the 9:45 p.m. from Fenchurch Street that would have taken him to his home station, Hackney. Well, there's a £300 reward offered for the apprehension of the murderer.
Does it note a description of his stolen gold watch?
Yes, it does.
And the picture of the hat left behind?
Yes, right next to the picture of Mr. Briggs in his own silk top hat.
It's a case of hats.
Now, it says here that there are many reports of men without hats. I guess anybody is a potential suspect if they're not wearing a hat.
But he is wearing a hat. He's wearing Mr. Briggs's hat, although I suspect it does not resemble its original appearance.
And then, on perfect timing, Mrs. Hudson entered the room.
Tea, gentlemen.
Oh, yes, please, Mrs. Hudson.
There's no time. Grab your coat, Watson.
Oh.
Where are we going?
I don't know, but I'm sure Inspector Tanner will enlighten us.
Is he here?
Yes.
But how do you know?
The window, Watson. It's a remarkable thing. It's like a transparent wall. I suggest you experience it one day.
Goodbye, Mrs. Hudson. No sooner had Inspector Tanner reached our front gate when Sherlock abruptly intercepted him.
Yes?
Oh, good morning.
Yes. Where are we going?
How do you know we are going somewhere?
No, I didn't ask you to put a description of the watch and the hat in the newspaper for the public's entertainment. I knew it would result in leads, which is why you are now standing at my door looking like a bewildered Neanderthal. So once again, where are we going?
Right.
So, what did I miss?
Apparently an abundance of evolution.
Morning, Dr. Watson.
Morning, Inspector.
Yes, meaningless pleasantries have been exchanged. Can we go now?
A cab driver named Matthews came forward this morning, saying he had purchased a hat that looked like the one in the newspaper, from a young German tailor called Franz Müller.
Then why are we standing here?
I'll get the carriage.
We arrived at Mr. Matthews' humble house in Paddington, whereby we were greeted by the whining of a rather grumpy baby slouched over the shoulder of Mrs. Matthews.
What's all this about, then?
Afternoon. We're from Scotland Yard. Is Mr. Matthews home?
Now he's out earning the besom. Why? What's all this about?
Your husband purchased a hat from a German tailor called Franz Müller.
Yeah, I remember. He dropped the hat off here in person. Nice fella. He even gave my daughter a little jewellery box.
Could I see that box?
Oi, Agnes?
Yes, Mummy?
Bring me a jewellery box. Shh. What's all this about?
Nothing for you to concern yourself about, Mrs. Matthews. Just following up on some leads. Protocol, as it were.
Here you are, Mummy.
Give it to them.
The little girl handed him the jewellery box, and he began to study it while we all stood by in awkward silence.
Is this German done something wrong, then?
That has yet to be determined, madam.
Ah. Do you want his address?
What? You have his address?
Yeah, he left it here for me old man in case he wanted anything else tailoring. I'll go and get it for you.
It had taken Inspector Tanner the rest of the afternoon to get an arrest warrant for Franz Müller. But by the time we reached his address in Bethnal Green, he was no longer at the premises. The room he had been renting was empty. Well, now what?
I don't know, Dr. Watson. That was our only lead.
Not your only lead.
You have something, Holmes.
Indeed I do. Mr. Death.
I beg your pardon?
Upon the little girl's jewellery box given to her by Mr. Müller was the signature of Mr. Death.
Mr. Death was actually a silversmith named John Death. He owned a jewellery shop on Cheapside Street.
Yes. The gentleman was slight in build, with a sallow complexion and thin features. He was wearing a black frock coat and vest, if I'm not mistaken. He had an accent, I would probably say German.
He bought a jewellery box from you?
Yes, that's right. Two, in fact.
Two?
And when was this?
Can't be more than 2 days ago.
The boxes are gifts, one for the cab driver's daughter, Agnes, and the other for who?
Did he say anything else while he was here?
We spoke the news and civil war, then a little bit about the weather. Then he said something about the north being the new frontier.
Well, it looks like we have hit a wall. I'm going to head back to the yard to see if we have had any more leads come in.
Oh, wait a minute. He did say something about Liverpool.
Go on.
He asked me how long it takes to get there.
And what did you say?
I said I'd never been, so I couldn't help him.
Liverpool it is. I'll alert the station up there.
Holmes did not move. He just gazed out of the shop window onto the street. I had seen this look many times before. Holmes was not convinced. That evening, Holmes and I sat on the train bound for Liverpool. Inspector Tanner had left on a train an hour early. Once again, Holmes remained silent and still, gazing out of the train window, lost in thought as he smoked his pipe. I see Inspector Tanner released the sketch of Müller. Look, it's all over the front page of the evening edition.
Yes, I saw.
I don't see how he thinks he'll be able to blend in up north. After all, news is news. It's everywhere. Honestly, every page of this paper is filled with doom and gloom. You've got the ongoing Danish-Prussian conflict with Lord Palmerston. Crime increasing in every major city in the world. Civil wars, poverty rising. Really, what's the world coming to, Holmes?
Wait a minute. Civil war.
Yes, yes, a country at war with itself. Honestly, the madness of it all.
The new frontier.
What's that, Holmes?
Müller said to the silversmith, the north is the new frontier.
Yes, and he asked about Liverpool, which is situated in the north of England.
But what if he wasn't talking about England?
If not here, then where?
North America.
What? Well, how did you come to this conclusion?
Müller spoke to the silversmith about daily topics, the weather, the civil war, and then said, the north is the final frontier, referring to the north of America, in particular, New York.
But why did he express interest in Liverpool?
Because ships bound for America depart from Liverpool, go to...
New York.
Precisely.
But he's already left. He's probably got at least a day or two ahead of us.
The average sailing ship takes about 6 weeks to cross the Atlantic. However, judging by Mr. Muller's basic living standards, I surmise he took the steamship Great Western, which is a slow ship that makes stops at ports along the way. We will take the SS City of Manchester ship, which is a fast ship travelling directly from Liverpool to New York. I calculate that we will reach the shores of the United States exactly 1 day before Muller. This will give us enough time to not only meet him at the port, but also initiate extradition proceedings to bring him back to London.
The turn of events played out like so. On August the 24th of this year, 1864, Franz Müller was arrested upon arrival into New York City's port by Inspector Tanner. Holmes and I were present.
Franz Müller?
Yes.
You're under arrest for the murder of Thomas Briggs.
Amongst Müller's possessions was Mr. Briggs's gold watch and Mr. Briggs's silk top hat, although the hat had been redesigned. 10 days later, on September the 3rd, the extradition certificate was signed by President Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln was a tall, thin man, standing at 6 feet 4 inches, reaching Sherlock's eye line.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Holmes, and I've heard so many things about what you're doing in London. Come, let's get a photo together.
Ah,
if we must.
Holmes begrudgingly stood on one side of President Lincoln, while I relished the opportunity to stand on the opposite side.
Thank you, gentlemen, and Godspeed.
As President Abraham Lincoln walked away, I knew I had just met a man of historical proportion. Outstanding, eh? Great man of our time.
Yes, well, you better make the most of it. I predict he has only about 6 months or so in office before he is inevitably assassinated.
What?
Oh, come, Watson. His actions are noble, but this country is clearly divided in policy and belief. It's just a matter of time before someone takes him out of the picture altogether. If I were him, I'd stay away from public areas, parks, restaurants, theatres, those sorts of places.
We arrived back in London in mid-October. As the train pulled into Euston Station, crowds gathered for a glimpse of Muller. And when we all arrived, the hostile crowd expressed their indignation towards Muller. By late October, the preliminary hearings were underway for the case of the railway murder at the Old Bailey.
Order! Order!
During the trial, Muller had consistently claimed his innocence.
It was not me. There was somebody else in the carriage.
However, the evidence proving otherwise was clear. Muller was found guilty of murder and sentenced to death. The date was 14th of November, 1864. It was a dull, rainy day, and Franz Muller was being escorted for execution at Newgate Prison. Holmes and I were present as the prisoner slowly walked out into the courtyard. As Muller began to pass us, he suddenly stopped with his head hung low and eyes to the ground when he spoke.
Ich habe es getan.
Holmes carefully nodded, and then the prisoner proceeded up the wooden platform to the hangman's rope. What did he say?
Ich habe es getan. I did it.